This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the USA. Good afternoon from London, Nick. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
So before we look ahead to the next few days to come, we've had some inflation numbers from Japan today, with inflation hitting 3% in February, slightly higher than market expectations, and possibly a future clue as to whether there's going to be further interest rate hikes in Japan.
Yeah, we see most yen pairs here today lower, basically showing some yen strength. As you mentioned, a little bit of higher than expected inflation. Takes me back to a time, I mean, Johnny, we've been on this 24-hour news cycle for the last few weeks. I'm sure listeners are a bit exhausted by it too. I don't know about you, but I'm a little excited for the weekend with all this chaos that's been going on. But with the yen, right, back in August, there was this big freakout event, the carry trade unwind. Oh my goodness. And silently in the background, I've saw some interesting things about the Japanese yen. As you mentioned, inflation, a little bit hot. And the Bank of Japan may still be keen on overall raising their interest rates. Well, the Commitment of Traders report has shown some recently very interesting data about the Japanese yen, which has been a steady accumulation of Japanese yen by non-commercials, those are your hedge funds and banks, for the last, you know, since that point. So since August, I know that story seems old now, but since then, there's been a steady accumulation of Japanese yen. We've also seen hawkishness out of the Bank of Japan, the willingness to hike rates. And meanwhile, we contrast that to a story that we all know very well, which is most other central banks are sort of a race to the bottom, if you will. Many other central banks cutting interest rates. The Bank of England wants to cut rates, but other central banks speeding ahead in that regard, perhaps the US, right? The Bank of Canada, the ECB. We see other places reducing their target rates. And I think that's an interesting dynamic that, you know, is kind of, we have to dust off the cobwebs here, just remind ourselves that, you know, when the Bank of Japan has high inflation and decent economic growth, and it's diverging from the story perhaps of other Western counterparts, that could cause a little bit of a stir in what has been for the last few years, just this incredibly weak yen. Perhaps we're seeing a little bit of a change in the wind. I mean, if you take a look at, pull up any yen pair that you'd like for the most part, scroll out on a daily chart and you'll see it's just up and to the right. That is until recently. You've started to see some lower highs, some lower lows. And again, take your pick, whether it's dollar yen or euro yen or pound yen. Many of these currency pairs are seeing some longer term declines for the first time, and I would say several years going back post-pandemic.
Nick, the dollar has been under a lot of pressure recently, mainly because of the concerns about the Trump tariffs, but it has been a bit steadier over the last few days. Looking at the pound against the greenback, it's around about 129.
Yeah, the pound has been actually quite strong, Johnny. We've talked about even this week with the Bank of England specifically, a bit more of a hawkish tone. Inflation's still sticky. We've talked about, you know, yesterday on the podcast that we did, talked a little bit about the stagflation risks for the UK. They're also in the US as well, this kind of global phenomenon of, well, tariffs could hike prices, but we're seeing some moderation in growth in many places. UK, US, definitely not exempt on that. So yeah, I mean, when you point out the pound, seeing a little bit of weakness against the dollar, we could also toss in the euro to that picture, right? Euro dollar has come down here a little bit, at least in the last few days this week, but still largely the US dollar has taken a big hit against many of these currencies here recently. There's a number of reasons for that. There's a bit of an exodus from US dollar, US denominated investments. And clearly we can see that when we contrast the European stock markets to the US right now. This year so far, there's been a revival in terms of UK, Europe, German stocks, right? Really outperforming the US, which has had a decline. Part of that does play into the currency demand. And we see a big investment going on in Germany, or proposed investment in order to combat what's happening with the US backing out of Ukraine potentially, right? That's just a question mark that many people don't know the answer to right now. So there's this rush into the euro and this perceived potential investment. So yeah, I mean, there's there's some stuff that kind of keeps pressure on the dollar. That being said, dollar index itself trading at, I believe it's around 104, just pulling it up. Yeah, about 104 here. And that's off of its lows around 103.25, really gave back a large amount of this. And we have to think, Johnny, too, this is part of the Trump plan, right? I mean, if we think about the weaker dollar, the desire of Trump to get the Fed to move interest rates lower, maybe the tariffs are, I've heard that idea thrown around quite a bit. It's like this is all kind of a way to back the Fed into a corner where they feel they need to cut rates, right? If they start to see and worry about growth concerns, the weaker dollar helps, you know, U.S. exports in terms of their affordability for other places. Maybe it's all part of the plan. I'm not really sure. And again, even if it's part of the plan, will their plan work? That's the other question, right? There's this, you're playing with fire here when it comes to the tariff stuff, because of course there's an important assumption that you're making, which is that our allies remain okay to be our allies and remain willing to negotiate as opposed to turning their back to negotiations, which would possibly be the worst case scenario, right? At the end of the day, a compromise is probably where I think we're headed we can hope for, right? Otherwise, we've got bigger issues and so do other economies. So I think that's what the Trump administration is playing for. And again, we will see how all of that works out. Kenny, our Canadian friend, is not on the call right now, so I can be a little bit more honest. I don't want to hurt his feelings. Totally kidding. We love Kenny and we love our Canadian friends. But, you know, it is one of those things. We have tariff uncertainties in this market. You have the Fed made a big stand here this week, pointing out that short-term inflation expectations are rising, but that Powell does not see that to be a long-term thing. I mean, he even whipped out the word that we discussed yesterday. He whipped out the word transitory again, which was, a brave thing for him to do, given his past history with the word. I think that people go really hard on him, but of course, the COVID pandemic was a tricky time for all of us. And now, Johnny, we're back to tricky times again with the tariff uncertainties.
Yeah, and it was interesting how dovish those comments from Jay Powell were. He seems to be talking up the economy, and perhaps it's because he's under quite a lot of political pressure from President Trump to be a bit more boosterish, to coin a phrase invented, I think, by former Prime Minister Boris Johnson here. Boosterism, they used to call it, and talking up the economy rather than down. Going back to what you were saying before, about the tariffs, though. I mean, with Canada, for instance, your closest and possibly most important economic ally, we've not got long to go. We're only a couple of weeks away from whether or not those massive tariffs are going to go ahead.
Yeah, and just to double back on your comments about the political stuff, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, Powell is a human being. He has a lot of forces on both sides that are putting pressure on him. I really don't envy his job, Johnny. I mean, that's a challenging spot to be in. Again, there's people that are, no matter what he does, there will always be somebody who is upset with him, pushing back on his decision making. That's just politics 101. And maybe your point is well made in regards to maybe these feeling the pressure of the president and has to kind of find a middle ground to still stick to his dual mandate, but also at least speak optimistically to a degree about the stuff that's happening, right? I sensed a little bit of that as well. Just the idea that, look, maybe he sees risks to tariffs, but it seemed like he just on a slight basis was a little bit, well, clearly the market's reaction was pretty positive. So clearly he sounded a little bit soft on tariff concerns, and you could take that as political, and what you could also do is hope that he genuinely is doing what he's been pretty consistent the last few years, right? He's been pretty transparent about what his true thoughts are, I would say. So we'll have to see, but definitely, of course, a challenging spot for him to be in. Dollar CAD, just to your point about the upcoming deadline, has been really choppy since really December, back and forth. We've had big spikes in both directions, and we'll see where that goes. I mean, April 2nd is right around the corner, to your point. We'll see if those tariffs do in fact go through. I do actually kind of just have it's an opinion, and listeners feel free to come back and point out if I'm wrong about this, but this is my opinion. I do think that there is some potential conflict resolution in the next few weeks rather than escalation. That's a kind of a strong opinion on my own, you know, socials. I've gotten a little bit of pushback for that thought, but that is my opinion. As always, you know, that's what makes a market, right? People have different ideas and different theories, but I do think that there's a possible conflict resolution coming. And that the understanding that, look, we're neighbors, let's make it work. If you want to move the fence a little bit more into my yard, fine. We'll see if that happens.
Yeah, and of course, we've got Mark Carney at the helm now in Canada, which, you know, he's no slouch when it comes to economics as the former chief of the Bank of England. And talking of the Bank of England, you mentioned earlier on, under a lot of pressure, the UK government under a lot of pressure as well. And next week, we're going to get the so-called spring statement, which is a bit like a mini budget from UK Chancellor of the Exchequer, Rachel Reeves. We've already seen today some more problematic data for His Majesty's government. We are more in debt than we thought we were. So she's got to find the money from somewhere. And next week's spring statement suggests she's going to make budget cuts rather than tax increases.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, as we watch these different governments, I mean, you can compare that too with what's happening in the U.S., budget cuts. Interesting, you made the point yesterday, I thought was quite interesting, the idea of budget cuts, of course, with the Labour Party in certain areas and all of the, of course, controversy and drama that goes with it. I mean, there's that similar contrast with the DOGE efforts in the United States. Clearly, you know, it's always a touchy subject. Nobody really likes when spending cuts happen, right? Because somebody has to get cut. There's something that has to give. And so it's an interesting time. We're seeing that across many different places, US, UK, many places kind of experiencing that decrease of the budget. And I think the bigger, broader implications for the market is just wondering if, you know, how much they actually are able to cut. Is it going to be meaningful? Some of the questions, some of the doubts about the DOGE efforts, for example, and I don't know too much about the UK situation, but the doubts are that those cuts are more political statements than they are actually truly cutting into the problem, right? Which is just massive fiscal spending just to administer our debt in this country, in the US. So, you know, I imagine it's probably something similar in the UK, but that's the challenge of it, right? It's kind of like when you get used to a certain lifestyle, it's hard to downgrade your lifestyle, but that may be ultimately the only solution to some of these ginormous outsized debts that these governments have to administer.
So I mentioned next week's spring statement over on this side of the Atlantic, but what else should we look out for next week?
Yeah, so we've got a pretty busy week. Next week, we've got some European and UK and US PMI numbers starting out on Monday. So that could give us some insights into state of the economy or at least outlook across the board. Same time, Tuesday, we also have CPI year over year for Australia. In the UK, we get CPI on Wednesday. That'll be big. As you mentioned, the budget release. And then on Thursday, you have final GDP for the US, unemployment claims as always. And finally, ending out on Friday, you have core PCE, so the Fed's preferred in measurement of inflation, coming in on Friday.
Excellent stuff. Nick, have a great weekend. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.